The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So good morning. Good day, everyone. Whether it's morning, or afternoon, or evening for you. And as most of you that are on right now know, I've been away for 3 weeks. And happily teaching a three-week retreat, the second one we've done at our retreat center in Santa Cruz, California. And I imagine that some of you who are watching today were at that retreat. I think there were some 140 or so people on it. 130, 140, about 40 in person, and another 80, 90 or so doing it online. And so since it just ended 2 days ago on Saturday, I feel kind of very much still in the momentum of the retreat. And then with the teachings there still on my mind, I want to say something about consciousness, awareness. I see consciousness and awareness as being synonyms of each other. And in fact, in one dictionary that I have, you look up the definition for consciousness, it says awareness, and look up the definition for awareness, it has consciousness. I'm sure that there are people who will parse apart more better distinctions between them, but in maybe in a simple person's English, that it's very easy to treat these as being the same. And but the question is, you know, what is it? What is consciousness? What is awareness? And I don't really know exactly, but I have a theory. And it's a working theory, in that it's a theory with which I work. The theory, the kind of understanding with which I find my way with. I'm in awe by the capacity to be aware, to be conscious. And I see it kind of as a metaphor, as kind of like a spark in the vast universe, kind of like a little candle that's burning. And we have some 7 billion of these candles burning, and of consciousness, of brightness, of clarity that we all humans share. And to the degree to which we share it with animals and other sentient beings is, you know, is not so clear, but there's a lot of different ideas about it. And so I'd like to kind of relate this idea of consciousness to the basic tools of mindfulness. That consciousness is not a thing, it's not a static thing, but rather it's a the image or the sense that the mind constructs for the gestalt of all the different capacities we have for attention and all the different kind of mental influences that might impact on our attention. And so a gestalt means something that's kind of a whole that's larger than its some of its parts. And so the mind has this capacity to construct. That's mind is a constructing organ. It takes in a lot of the data from outside and inside, from all the different sense doors we have, and the inner from the mind, and the mind's memories and thoughts and projections of the future. And it's an amazing, the mind is an amazing organ of processing data, information that comes in, and then reconstructing in such a way that we can find our way in the world. One of the ways that I marvel at is that you can Someone can throw you a ball in the air, and your mind will calculate the physics of when and how and where you will catch the ball. If it's a beach ball, you'll calculate it very differently than if it's a baseball thrown at you as a fastball. So there's a very different kind of calculation that goes on, and that includes the height of which it's thrown, the weight of the ball, the size of it, and all kinds of things come into play. And your mind doesn't calculate the physics of it in a conscious way, but somehow it knows. It takes all the data in, maybe the memory of different balls being thrown before, and understands the particularities of this time. So this is the mind's ability to construct and to make things. And we know that sometimes it does so creatively, that or sees things dynamically that are not really dynamic in a certain way. And so the old movie films, 8mm films, where there's all these individual frames that are still shots, but when they pass through the eyes quickly, the brain reconstructs it as motion. There's no motion on the screen. There's a lot of quick still shots put on there, and so the mind constructs something. So the mind has a constructive organ, and it takes all the different capacities for perception and awareness and knowing and recognition, and together forms kind of a whole sense of what that is, that can feel like just a marvelous sense of consciousness, of awareness, open, broad spectrum awareness. But the way people experience consciousness and being aware varies very much from person to person and from individual from day to day, depending on all kinds of mental factors that come into play that influence that sense of awareness and consciousness. So, for example, if we spend a lot of time being distracted, then we hardly even know that we're conscious and aware. We know it in the abstract, but we don't live in the intimate awareness of awareness, the intimate knowing of, wow, this is amazing. Whereas other times when we're not distracted and maybe in some beautiful natural setting or looking at the sky and clouds, we might kind of marvel at the fact that here we are on this planet, aware of the planet and how, you know, special that is. And it's, you know, quite something to be with someone as they die and see that there's consciousness, and then seemingly in that body there's no more consciousness. It's kind of, that'll happen to us at some day. So consciousness, the sense of it all, can depend on whether we're distracted or not distracted, calm or not calm. So the sense of consciousness is influenced in different ways by different ways in which we know things. And in mindfulness practice, there are different attentional faculties that come into play. And different people will specialize in different ones of these attentional faculties as they're grounding into mindfulness. Mindfulness itself is not a particular function of a particular organ of perception, but rather is also a little bit of a gestalt of different things coming together to help us to be mindful. That maybe is a narrower, smaller sphere of things than what constructs the idea of consciousness. So today I want to talk, today and tomorrow I think, a little bit about, and the rest of the week, some of these different attentional facilities, capacities we have, and what they are, so we can recognize them. The more we recognize them, the more we can use them at different times and ways. And I'll talk about the ones that the Buddha emphasized when he taught mindfulness practice. And there's about four different things that he, ways of paying attention that he emphasized. And with a principle that we are changed as we use them. The observer, when we observe the observer something, the observer can be changed by the observation. And that's a principle that we're using in Buddhist practice. We're observing, we're being mindful in such a way that we are changed in the observing. The simplest way of seeing it, saying it, is that as we observe in a calm way, we become calmer and calmer. If we observe our experience in an agitated way, it's easy to become more and more agitated. So how we're aware is crucial for this enterprise of mindfulness and allowing it to change us for the better. And so what I'll talk about today and tomorrow, now it's almost time to stop, is what I call knowing, which I see as a synonym for recognition. A moment of recognition, just the simplest recognition of something. Looking at a cup and recognizing that's a cup. That can be verbal, recognition, or it can be kind of nonverbal, cognitive recognition of a cup. We have a lot of nonverbal cognition that goes on all day long. But if you take the time to let your knowing of something, to really know it, to really kind of, in a sense, let yourself stop for a moment or more, and to really know the experience you're having, or know the thing that you're with, know the cup that you're with, and then see if you can know it in a calm way. Begin experimenting with calm knowing of things. And that could be the homework for the next 24 hours if you're inclined, is to go in the course of the day, see the manner by which you know the world you're in, the way you're perceiving it, but especially how you recognize what's going on. Is that in a hurry? Is it agitated? Is it tense? Is it contracted? Is it pulling away? What happens if you recognize something and the recognition itself has time to be done calmly? And then I'll pick up on this tomorrow. So I hope that makes sense. I hope that as we go through this week, you'll start appreciating both the different faculties for attention, but also how those faculties then might help shape our sense, our construction of consciousness itself. So thank you very much, and look forward to being here tomorrow.